Well, praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been. As always, we just thank God for the music of the Lighthouse. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading the first five verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. If you will, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. We'll read. As I read, you follow right along with me as Paul's writing to Timothy concerning the position that Timothy would be taking as a pastor. And so as we look here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it is to be in church. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. I trust that everyone here can sense that. Thank you for the holy, preserved Word of God that we have before us. As we've just read these few verses, Lord God, I pray that you would open up the hearts and the minds of all that are here, especially the fathers, that we would be able to receive what you have for us through this passage of Scripture. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul has given to Timothy the qualifications for the positions that God has established in Christ's New Testament church. These are the qualifications, as we just read here, the first ones, the qualifications for the position of a bishop or pastor. But can I tell you that it's an exhortation to all Christian fathers? For the qualifications is meant to be an example, a testimony as to God's will for all. And so we look here in verse 4 and 5 is what I want to spend most of the time with this morning. And he's presenting this as a must for the pastors and the deacons of the church, but also as an exhortation to the pastors, to the fathers, when he says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." And then, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he," and I love this right here, "take care of," because that was the purpose, "take care of the church of God," or to take care of his own home. That word "ruleth" in verse 4 is to govern by established laws, to govern by laws that have been established in the home. Just making sure that everyone follows the laws, follows the rules, lives in the house as God would have a person to live in that house. Establish what God would have established in that home. He is to rule or govern that. And for the purpose, again, is to take care of something that every father should do. Look to take care of. If you allow me to, can I ask every father here to ask yourself a question? This is Father's Day. You knew that coming in. Amen. You say, what about mothers? We covered that in Mother's Day. As a father here this morning, would you ask yourself, am I a good father? Am I a good father? Now, no one's going to judge you here. It's not for me to know what your answer is. You might, some might say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. I could be worse. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to ask yourself, am I a good father? Now that you've asked yourself that, let me ask you another question. Let me ask you that. Do you want to be? Do you want to be that man, that father, that husband, a Christian man? Can I tell you, as Paul is writing to Timothy concerning his position of a pastor, Paul reveals to him what I believe we need to have revealed to us if we truly want to be that man or that father that God would have us to be. If Timothy wanted to be that pastor that God wanted him to be, then it would begin with a desire. No man has ever been a good man, a good father, a good husband without having a desire to be. It's not within your nature. The nature of man and the nature of woman, the nature of humanity is a very selfish nature. The nature of man is to find a woman that's going to take care of me, to do my bidding, to be all that I want her to be, that I want her to be. If we have children, then they're going to serve me. They're going to be all that I want them to be, whatever it might be. But if you're going to be the man that God would have you to be, that wants you to be, it's going to have to begin with a desire. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The church is only as strong as its families. And so in order to have a good work as a church, we have to have a good work as a family. And it begins with the leadership that God has established for that family. It must begin with a desire. Do you know how to develop a desire to want to be a good dad? Ask yourself, how precious are your children? Too often we lose sight of the importance of children. Timothy, in order for him to have a desire to be the pastor of the church that God wanted him to be, he had to understand the importance of the church. As he would understand the importance of the church, then he would understand the importance of the leadership of the church. And as he would understand the importance of the leadership of the church, it would begin, God, if you want me to serve in this capacity, I have a desire to be all that the church needs in the position that you have established. And the very same holds true. If we're going to have a desire to be all that God would have us to be, then we have to understand the position of a father in being able to oversee the house, the home, and to raise the children as God wants them to be raised. I've got to be able to see how important children are, how important my children are. Do I know how precious they are? Not only to me, but to God. The only one, if you truly love your child, the only one that could love your child more than you is God. The Bible has some things to say about that. Over in the book of Psalms, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you can write it down, go back and study this. But Psalms 127, The psalmist writes something here that is a truth that every parent needs to know. The Bible says in chapter 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." That means that they come from God. "And the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are a heritage of the Lord. The book of Jeremiah, as Jeremiah would write in chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is what God told Jeremiah, the prophet that God would use in a mighty way, "Before I formed thee, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." See, God places life in the womb. And that life is human life, and that comes from God. Now, again, you know this to be true. As we look around, we look at children, you know that God uses the DNA of mom and dad to give that physical characteristic of that child. But outside of God, you wouldn't have a child. Because God puts life into the womb. And the life that God puts into the womb is eternal. The life that God puts in the womb is an eternal spirit. The spirit of that child is who that child truly is, and it's an eternal spirit. And with that eternal spirit, they have an eternal soul. That means that what God puts in the womb of that mother is an eternal life. More than just a temporary life, more than just a life that's going to live for 100 years on planet Earth if they have the maximum there, more than that, you have within that womb and you have given to you by God as a parent, you have an eternal spirit, an eternal soul placed in your care for you to take care of. God's design for every child in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers," the headship of the home, "provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." Fathers, God tells you, he gives you that responsibility. If you want to be the dad that God wants you to be, you have to have a desire and understanding what God's position is as a father and the responsibility that he's given to you, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't want to be a prophet of doom this morning, but the reality is that child that God gives you will one day die a physical death. It's up to God. Life and death is up to God. God gives life. How long he gives that life to live on planet Earth, it's up to God. He has a different plan, different purpose for each and every one of us. However long God gives that life to live on planet Earth is important. It's precious. But more, what's more precious than the life that God gives that child to live on planet Earth is a life that he's given him for an eternity. An eternal spirit. An eternal soul. Every child has one. Every child has an eternal spirit, eternal soul. And that's why every child needs to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, what God wants is found for every life found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Understanding that this is a temporal life, however long God gives that individual to live on this life is just temporal. But God wants us to know something about that life that he's given to you to raise. And you've got to see it as being precious. If you're going to desire to be all that you need to be, you have to understand how precious that life is. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. God didn't want you to be, he wants you to understand life. Physical life and eternal life. He wants you to understand that. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. You sorrow not for that life as those that have no hope, because there is more to their life than just here on this earth. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those that die with Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior, they sleep in Jesus, will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I want you to pay attention here. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If that life on this earth that God has given, eternal spirit, eternal soul, during their lifetime, if they have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, no matter when it is that they die, and it's appointed a man wants to die, they will face a physical death. The Bible says you don't have to worry and sorrow as those that have no hope. If you know that they died in Jesus Christ, they will live forever with him. If they died in Christ. If they don't, they still have an eternal spirit, an eternal soul. But they will be cast into a place that God prepared for Satan and his angels. It's an eternal lake. The Bible calls it Gehenna hell. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another knowing that in Christ they have everlasting life. Wow. That's what God's given to you to raise. An eternal spirit. An eternal soul. That's what's most important. You need not to be ignorant of that. You need to know, Father, what's most important is that life that God has given to you has an eternal spirit, an eternal soul. Jesus would teach on that when he would teach in Matthew chapter 16. Everybody follow me this morning? Amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. He wanted you to understand this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will, it's not forced, it has to be of a desire. Your child, you can't get saved for your child. That child has to come to a place where they want to receive Christ on their own. Then said Jesus, the disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? What is a man profited? What is our children? What does it profit our children if they shall gain the whole world? We want our children to be successful in this life. I remember, I won't tell you who it is, but a woman in our church, a mother in church, always told me, I'm raising my children to one day take care of me. Yeah. Now, that was somewhat in jest, but they wanted them to be successful enough to when they got in their old age, they wouldn't put them in a nursing home, but they would take care of them. Yeah. But what profit it if he shall gain the whole world? Have all the money, have all the prestige, and lose his own soul. Because this life is temporal. His soul is eternal. He gained the whole world, lose his own soul. Or what shall a man profit, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How precious is it? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father, of his Father, and with the holy angels. It's a fact. It's going to happen. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not take taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Knowing how precious my children are, knowing that I have been given the task of raising an eternal soul, an eternal spirit, I should desire to be a good father. I should desire to take care of my family. If you understand the importance and the preciousness of a soul. So, it begins with a desire. When you understand that, you understand children have a living, an eternal soul, an eternal spirit. And I can influence that. Matter of fact, I should influence that. And I raise them understanding that they have an eternal spirit, an eternal soul. And the most important thing is their eternal life. And I desire to raise them. I have a desire to be the man, the father God wants me to be. That's a good thing. That's a start. If we stop at the desire stage, we'll fail. I think every man here, you're in church on this Sunday, you raised your hand. I think now that you understand how precious your child is, it was already precious to you, and you say, I have a desire. I have a desire to be a good father, a good dad. What are you doing about it? If you stop at the desire stage, and everyone, I believe anyone with any kind of character at all would have a desire, especially when you understand that you're responsible for an eternal soul, an eternal spirit. We must move on. Move on from the desire stage. It begins with the desire stage, but then you have to look at the qualifications in order to be that pastor, in order to be that father, that good dad. And so we find here the desire was there, and then Paul would write to Timothy, Timothy, I know you have the desire. You understand the importance of the church. Can I tell you, fathers, I know you have the desire. You understand the importance of your child's soul, eternal soul. But you have to move on beyond a desire stage. And a bishop then must be. A pastor then, once you have the desire, that's where it begins. But that's a then. Now that you have the desire, this is what you must be. That's good stuff. And he goes into the qualifications. And can I tell you, these qualifications begin with a desire and then a disciplined life. A life that I die to self and realize if I'm going to be all that I need to be in this position, this is what I got to give myself to being. I cannot be selfish. I cannot be self-centered. I cannot do my own thing. If I'm going to be the person that I need to be, then there is qualifications for this position. You need to be blameless. No cause to be blamed. You have to be disciplined enough to stay away from those things.
You have to be the husband of one wife. You have to look to God to salvage that marriage and to be make that marriage what it ought to be, disciplined. You have to be vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to husband. It goes on. These are qualifications, and they are the qualifications for the position of a pastor. But can I tell you, there are qualifications that every father needs to look to if I'm going to be what my children need. How to rule. For if a man know not how to rule. Do you know how to rule? Do you know how to govern? Do you know how to establish the right kind of laws, rules, direction in your home? Who determines that? In the life we're living in today, everyone has guidelines for how they're going to parent their children, how they're going to, what they will allow and what they won't allow. At least most do. Who determines that? Your parents? That could be a good thing, but it might not be. That means how you were raised, if that's how you have determined that you will raise your children because that's what you've experienced, that's how you've been raised. If you were raised in a godly home, in a right, that could be a good thing, but it might not be. So it really, should it be the way, because of how, some would be in here this morning would say, I have determined I will not raise my children the way that I was raised. I don't know exactly how to raise my children, but I know what not to do. No doubt there would be some fathers here today that would say, I don't really understand what rules that I need to establish, but I know some mistakes that my parents made. So should it be determined by your parents? Should it be determined by society? You see, the world today wants society to dictate morality. Because they would say that we have evolved. And so as we have evolved, then we need to reestablish morality, rules of morality for society. Is that really how you want to raise your eternal spirit, son and daughter? Your eternal soul, son and daughter? To be raised according to society's morality? If there's no God, then that would be a good thing to do. If there is no God, then you would assess the society and you would assess what's going on around us, and we don't want to stand out. We don't want to raise our children to be kind of odd, and so we're going to allow them to just develop the kind of mentality that society develops on morality and how to live their lives. If there is no God, if there is no eternal spirit, if there is no eternal soul, then I say, not bad. You can do that. But if they have an eternal spirit and they have an eternal soul that needs to, in their lifetime, receive Jesus Christ in order to have eternal life in heaven, I don't think I would go that way. Not a good way to raise your children. It's not a good way to take care of them. Well, let's let government, the laws of the land, determine it. We have to honor government. Praise the Lord for that. But not when government goes opposite the laws of God. Pray for the government. Pray for the leaders. We get the right ones in position. But I don't think letting the government, which they are trying to do, whether you realize it or not, in the curriculum that your children are being taught in the schools that they attend, in society that they live in. Well, should I let a religion? I'm going to raise my children with a belief in a religion. What if the religion teaches something other than Christ? Well, as long as they're in church, really?
Children are too precious for us to make a mistake. Come on, dads. Your child is too precious for you to make a mistake. So what should it look like? Ruling, taking care of. That's what it presents to us here. The positions of a pastor, so that you might govern, rule, with established laws. And they were established in your ruling with being mindful of taking care of, meeting their needs, raising them in a right way. So what does it look like? Verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all, underline, gravity. Gravity. Character. Serious respect. I need to live a life to allow my family, make it easy for them to respect me. I need to establish a testimony for my wife and for my children to make it easy for them to follow my lead, to follow the government of the house, to follow the rules of the house, to respect the rules of the house, to respect the one who has been given the task of establishing the headship and establishing the rule of the house. Establish that kind of a testimony. Character. Respect. The Bible reveals to us that we've been given the headship of the home. But as we have been given the headship of the home, we have to realize I can't do it on my own. The only way that I'm equipped is to follow the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, Timothy, look to the leadership of Christ, love the church as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, look to that example to be the husband that your wife needs. Amen. It's the only way that you're going to be qualified, equipped, to gain the respect and the honor. And then children, God has given them a command. They don't even realize the importance of it, but a parent needs to. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They don't even realize how important that promise is. But you do, parent. Establish rules that are biblical that you can point your children to and say, this is why we do this. This is why we have this rule. This is why we're going to govern the house this way, because it's far above me. I've just been given the position to govern it. Amen. Yeah. Every father is equipped when he disciplines himself to follow Christ's lead. The nurture. Bring them up in the nurture. The nurture of the Lord. That is the whole training and education of children. That is the training and the education as to their bodies. Don't listen to the world concerning your body. Listen to the teachings of the Bible concerning your body. Your body is a temple of God. Honor it, respect it. Don't let the world teach you to abuse it and to use it. Honor it, respect it. Raise your children to respect their bodies and other children's bodies. Raise your children to respect their mind and understand their mind. Right thinking is very important, and you have to make sure that you are in control of what you allow to influence the thinking of your children. Have some guidelines on what you allow to come into your home and what you allow them to take in. Garbage in the mind, garbage out of the mind. The problem with society today is children are being raised by everything but the Word of God, and they have all of this garbage in their head. And if they got all this garbage in their head, as they are, their little minds are designed to grow, they're just going to act out what they have put in it. We have to raise them to understand how important your thinking is. Raise them to understand how important it is what you allow to influence your mind. The younger they are, the more important it is, because they're developing their thoughts. They're developing their way of life. They're developing their beliefs. You need to be there to help them, to lead them to the belief in Christ and His teachings. The training of their spirit. They need to know they have an eternal spirit. They need to know that there's more to this life than this life. You have an eternal soul. You have an eternal spirit. And there's a place of heaven. There's a place of hell. And if you're going to go to heaven, you have to, of your own free will, trust in Jesus Christ. Raise them to trust in Jesus Christ. Admonition is counsel and correction as per the Lord's instructions. So fathers, ask yourself, based on what we've just studied, based on what the Bible says, am I a good dad? Am I doing what I need to be doing and raising my precious child and influencing my precious child? And then let me ask you the question. You ask yourself that. Whatever your answer was to yourself, let me ask you this. Do you want to be?
Can't go back and change anything, but you can confess to your child, I was wrong in doing it this way. And from this point forward, we're going to start doing it this way. From this point forward, I am going to be the man that God wants me to be. I'm going to be the example of Christ to my wife. I'm going to be the example of Christ to my children. And we are going to rule by His design.
And I'm just here to govern it. You desire that? I'm going to read a poem. We're done. Do I want to be a good dad? I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other people I'll meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have, but I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. There are certain dreams that I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I'd like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. It's the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my little girl, I've nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I'd gather, my fortune would be sad if I failed to be successful as my little girl's dad. I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my little girl can just grow up godly, then I'll be glad. For then I'll know I've been successful as my little girl's dad. Do you want to be? Move on from the desire stage. Look to Christ, His example. Be all that He wants you to be. And you can be. If I could ever have bowed, every light, eye closed. Do you want to be? Do you realize how important your task is? Do you realize how precious that eternal life is that you are raising? That eternal spirit, that eternal soul. You need to be successful. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word as we have studied this. I pray, God, that you would take it now and help each one here to apply it, whether it be a father or a mother or a child. Lord, I know that you spoke to us through this. I just pray, God, for those that need to make decisions now, would make those decisions, would commit to being all that they can be. God, there might be someone here that needs to be saved. Maybe someone here that's been saved and needs to rededicate a life. Maybe baptism, whatever it might be. Help each one to search their own hearts and their own minds and make whatever decision you'd have them to make. Bless now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.